Chapter 8. The Calculation of Suspicion. Kubik addressed Courland from the heart of the Diagnostiad, the clicking mind of Mars. A kilometer-wide sphere excavated from the ground in untold ages past, its sides were a hive of thousands of individual cells, each containing the body of a Magos wired directly into the Martian world core. Their whispering never stopped. Once placed inside a cell, a Magos left only when his unnaturally long life was worked out. Dark patches on the wall marked out an expired follower of the Omnisire, like dead elements on a Pict screen. Sometimes they might go for months without notice, until servitor teams carefully cleared brown bones, failed cybernetics, and ruined robes from the cavity and prepared it for a new occupant. It was a networked mind, far more powerful than any cogitator in the galaxy. Retaining but a fragment of their individuality, the Magi became one in thought and intent. The Diagnostiad had known no dissension within itself for hundreds of years. There were few honours higher in the priesthood than to be elevated to the Diagnostiad. To join the world engine at the heart of the Martian Empire was to commune with the Omnisire himself. The office of Fabricator General was one of those few higher honours. Surrounded by thousands trapped in the ecstasy of mechanical undeath, it was an honour Kubik preferred. Kubik's throne was a mighty affair, replete with data sockets, cogitator interface points, servo skull docks, and other, more esoteric devices that provided Kubik with a direct link to the mind of Mars. Backed by a giant brazen plaque depicting the Machina Opus, the throne occupied a dais raised on a spine in the heart of the sphere, a tall needle alight with the sparkings of the motive force and set with the polished bones and preserved cybernetica of his predecessors. Like the arcane knowledge of the tech priests, Kubik's throne was founded on the bones of the past. At the Fabricator General's insistence, Courland spoke with Kubik from a private lithocast chamber aboard the Abhorrence. A perfect life-size image of the Chapter Master was projected by his throne in a manner that meant only Kubik and the Diagnostiad could see him. No other sentient was present in the sphere, and yet secrecy reigned even there. The instinct to hoard knowledge was the most powerful a tech priest possessed. Their mastery of technology was second only to their paranoia.
"Well met, Chapter Master Courland. Your return to Sol is timely. Without your arrival, Terra would surely be lost."
Kubik selected a near-human voice from his edit core recollections, a rich, commanding voice, suggestive of masculinity and confidence. Entirely unlike Kubik's original voice, now hundreds of years lost.
"Greetings to you, Lord of Mars," said Courland, and bowed. "We, the Brothers of the Last Wall, come before you to ask for your aid and your wisdom."
The Space Marine was being deferential. Kubik wondered who had schooled him.
"We move immediately upon the attack moon," said Courland. "Surprise is our most potent weapon. We will fall on them and smash them from the skies."
So thought Jaskina Tull, and her proletarian crusade ended in disaster.
Kubik's subprocessors kept his voice neutral, injecting elements of superiority, irony, and calm into the Vox output.
"We are the hammer of the Emperor, not a desperate rabble. We shall destroy the Orcs." "I can only applaud your confidence, Chapter Master, but I insist on caution."
"And I can only query your lack of action," said Courland.
"It is no mystery," said Kubik. "Our ground forces are substantial here on Mars, but our fleets are not suitable for actions of this kind. We have few vessels within the system in any case. To throw our lot in with Jaskina Tull would have resulted in the loss of valuable military units that might be better used elsewhere." "What of your weapons arrays? Your machines of great art? Surely there is something capable of destroying the moon upon Mars?"
"Indeed," said Kubik. "And using any of the greater weapons would have posed unconscionable risks to Holy Terra. Would you have us destroy the throne world to save it?"
Courland gave Kubik a look the Fabricator General found unreadable. He queried the Diagnostiad via mind shunt. Voice analysis and facial muscle configurations suggest he is close to speaking freely, spoke the diagnostiad into Kubik's mind. It addressed him with a single voice. He believes you to be dissembling. We calculate a 90% probability that he has been in contact with others within the system. Primary suspects, Grandmaster Vangorich, Inquisitor Veritas.
Let us not point the finger, Chapter Master, said Kubik. This war has taken us all by surprise. You have a good chance of success. In aiding you, I will not be casting my military away needlessly, so you I shall aid. That was your intention in contacting me, yes, to ask for my help and not cast aspersion and accusation?
Colin nodded curtly.
Yes, my lord, that was my intention. Good. 5 regiments of Skitarii will accompany you and attendant support. I will pledge also 7 cohorts of the Legio Cybernetica. The Basilicon Astra will transport them and provide heavy supportive fire. Alone or in support of the merchant fleets, our warships would have stood little chance. With your battle fleet, they can operate within acceptable parameters of survival. I desire to speak with Phaeton Laurentis and Eldon Urquidex, said Corland. They are known to me, and I would confer with them.
Urquidex? Laurentis? I am not familiar with them. One moment, please.
Kubik made a show of calling up their information.
Ah, yes. Minor biologians. Unfortunately, both magi are occupied with other duties. Another time, perhaps, said Corland. You have our thanks, Fabricator General. While the Imperium stands together, it shall not fall. Mars will not allow that to happen. We are united as always.
He suspects you lie, whispered the diagnostiad.
When will your forces be ready? Asked Corland.
Chapter Master, I called the Tagmata of Mars weeks ago in anticipation of reinforcement. Our military is already prepared to sail as soon as I give the word. You insult me and the oaths of fealty and alliance Mars holds in sacred compact with Holy Terra. We have stood ready to sail to Terra's aid since the very first. We could not act alone, nor would we support the fool's crusade called by Jaskina Tull.
Kubik stood from his throne, mechadendrites and other subtler supplementary limbs waving in displeasure.
You have my apologies, Fabricator General, said Corland. No implication was meant. Your aid is generous and will save the lives of many of the Sons of Dawn. Transmit me your marshalling coordinates. I will dispatch the Tagmata and place the Prime under your direct command. I have only one request. That is, my lord, any and all materiel and technology taken in the battle must be collected by my subjects and delivered here to Mars. For what purpose? Asked Corland. Its study is vital to the defeat of the Orcs. I will agree to this in exchange for all information pertaining to the Orc threat you have already gathered. We have provided what we know to the Senatorum, said Kubik smoothly. There are explorator fleets all over the Imperium, said Corland. Many of your forge worlds have been attacked. I have seen some of the intelligence you have gathered. It seems a little thin. It is all we have, said Kubik. Delivery of materiel will speed our analysis. We shall share what we learn when we have learnt it.
Corland stared a long moment at the Fabricator General.
Very well. But we shall oversee the transfer.
Agreed, said Kubik.
We will speak again soon, on the day of our victory.
Corland's image vanished as Kubik cut the link. The whispering of the Diagnostiad members rose and fell like the rush of wind in the leaves of a forest. Kubik stood to his throne again and commanded it to descend. Gracefully it sank away, bringing Kubik to rest upon the only flat surface in the sphere and the only part free of the cavities of the Diagnostiad cells. A platform 100 meters across, a raised road of Martian bronze leading across it to a huge pair of doors guarded by a phalanx of stooped cyber constructs. Kubik glided out of his throne. The doors opened before him. Outside stood the primary members of the Synod of Mars, waiting on his orders. Bowing profusely, they took his commands. Eldon Erquidex was marched alongside Magos Laurentis up the channel of motivational energies as performed by the flesh, a broad processional way laid out in mimicry of the internal workings of a cogitator's logic boards. They were deep within the forged temple of Olympus Mons, passages left at irregular intervals, each one guarded by bioconstructs and barred by heavy grills known as the Gates of Logic. The channel was the largest road in a three-dimensional labyrinth and the main route taken by supplicants to the Synod of Mars. The edifice had been constructed eons ago, during Old Night, by a fabricator general of questionable sanity, the legacy of costly experiments to mimic the ineffable deductive powers of pure energy through the medium of humanity. Technoliturgia, moving around the circuit, was supposed to operate in a manner similar to the subatomic particles of the Holy Motive Force. It had not, of course, worked, but where it had failed as a computational device, it succeeded as art, and remained a sacred place. The channel bored through the mountain in a Laz straight line to the audience chamber of the Fabricator General, and Erquidex was worried. Erquidex's mechanical face was misleading. Behind the steel and the telescopic eye stalks lurked a very human brain. Not so long ago, Erquidex would have welcomed an appointment with Kubik as an opportunity to secure advancement within the Synod. Manipulation, flattery, spurious logic, these tools were Erquidex's to deploy as easily as the fine manipulators on his additional limbs. That was before he became a traitor. Fear chilled the fluids in the tubes of his augmetics. Erquidex had worked himself to the center of Kubik's plans and had come to disagree with them entirely. With news of the Last War's arrival at Sol and their dash for Terra, Kubik's intelligence core and native brain alike would be slaved entirely to political scheming. It would take the slightest misstep to expose Erquidex. What small patches of skin remained to him were slick with the unpleasant excretions of anxiety. The heavy tread of Kubik's cybernetic guardians rang ominously on the metal plates of the channel. Everything Erquidex saw, his nerves imbued with a sinister aspect. Servo skulls and vat constructs darting through the air became spies following his every move. The chants of magi and electro-priests droning from the factory chapels and techno-basilici carried counter-melodies of accusation. The hisses and whines of holy manufacturing processes barely concealed their contempt for him. Laurentis, his emotions so heavily circumscribed by the surgery necessary to save his life after Adamantua, lurched along placidly on his tripedal motive assembly, the thoughts whirring through his rebuilt brain, secret from all. Erquidex was no Ultima Mechanista, wishing away his humanity. For him and the members of his sub-cult, balance was to be sought between mechanical and organic. For was not the flesh nothing but the wet machinery of the Omnissiah? Finding such a balance was a cause of much worry to Erquidex. He thought back to Adamantua, torn between the cold logic of the subservious's mission and the horror he had experienced at the annihilation of the Imperial Fists. Ruminating on that weakness, he envied Laurentis his newfound detachment. Too soon they came to Kubik's audience chamber. The doors were a pair of cogs set in series, one bearing a skull, the other a mechanical face. The machina opus split into two holes. The cyber constructs stopped and slammed their power glaives into the metal floor. With mouthless voices, they announced the Magi's arrival. Magi biologist Eldon Erquidex and Phaeton Laurentis request audience with his High Logician, the Fabricator General of Mars. Erquidex found that rich. There had been no request. They had been summoned. He would rather be anywhere than in Kubik's presence today. Did Kubik know? Had that giant intellect uncovered his involvement with the agents of the Officio Assassinorum? The doors rolled apart in opposite directions. Erquidex and Laurentis were ushered in. The audience chamber was designed to intimidate. On his best days, Erquidex found the vast space crisscrossed with giant crackling power conduits and humming with data streams emanating from the Diagnostiad to be unnerving. And today was not one of his best days. Erquidex steadied himself and put his emotional feeds on temporary hold, redirecting his thought processes through the far steadier mechanisms of his intelligence core.
O mighty and most wise Fabricator General Kubik, prime of primes, artisan without compare, said Erquidex, spreading his multiple limbs and executing a complex obeisance. I am your humble servant. State your bidding and I shall comply to the letter without the error of signal loss or personal interpretation.
Laurentius said nothing, but executed an awkward three-legged curtsy, his single organic eye blinking incongruously in the center of his facial mechanisms. Kubik sat in a high-backed, ovoid chair that floated a meter above the ground on a snapping grav field. The dusty smell of high-energy discharge washed out from it as he floated forward to stop not far from the two biologians, the repulsor unit of the chair, buffeting at their robes.
Magos biologist Eldon Erquidex, Magos biologist Phaeton Laurentius. Prime of primes, alpha of alphas, said Erquidex.
Laurentius said nothing.
Tell me, said Kubik, what do you know of Second Captain Corland of the Imperial Fists, lately returned to this system?
Erquidex's mechanical body parts sagged with relief.
Whatever you wish to know, Lord of Mars.
Kubik's chair turned, its energy field spitting, and he performed a slow circuit around the Magi.
Laurentius first. You spent much time with him on Adamantua.
He was kind, said Laurentius, his vocal modulator thoughtful. Honourable.
Laurentius paused.
Fabricator General, it is often wise in such circumstances as these, where mismatch exists between the relative hierarchical status of two participants in an exchange, to provide an opinion not necessarily held by the responder. To give information discourse couched in the subjective language that tallies with the result the interlocutor wishes to hear. I calculate you wish to hear the bad, but I cannot voice it. He saved my life.
Speak the truth. Flattery compromises logic, said Kubik.
I will say nothing against him, said Laurentius. He is, in common parlance, a hero. After my transformation, he threatened Magos Erquidex with violence should additional damaging circumstance befall me.
And why is this remarkable? Asked Kubik. The primary purpose of the Adeptus Astartes is to safeguard and promote the persistence of the human race. They are made to be that way, as predictable as the energy output of a lasgun.
It is possible he was following his indoctrinative programming, conceded Laurentius, but I believe he genuinely wished to help me, personally.
Intriguing. An altruist. An uncertain modifier to my calculations.
There is more. He was also sad, said Laurentius,
as if struggling to recall what the word meant.
And you, Erquidex, state your initial observations and hypothetical deductions.
He was most persuasive, said Erquidex unctuously, unafraid to offer violence to further his aims.
Erquidex remembered being slammed into a wall. Most unpleasant.
I found him driven. He will not be easily controlled.
Kubik's subsidiary vocalizers made a dry, clacking laugh. His primary voice remained thoughtful and cold.
Do not second-guess my intentions, Erquidex.
I only think on the progress of the grand experiment and how the arrival of the last wall will affect that progress, said Erquidex.
You and I are not dissimilar, said Kubik. We are both biologians, even if our specializations differ. Our creed is a self-evident truth. To abandon humanity entirely is a self-defeating exercise. Logic is a tool best utilized by a thinking, feeling organism, not an end unto itself. The end is knowledge, not logic, as some of our brethren believe. Logic gives us a framework to understanding, but it does not provide insight. Without insight, I could never have become Fabricator General, nor could I survive the political processes of the Senatorum Imperialis. Logic is not the only mode of thought necessary to true communion with the Omnis Higher. The flesh is weak, but the machine on its own is weak also. Let the cults of expunging strip away their humanity and decry us as modus unbecoming. We must never forget the even split upon the Omnis Higher's own sigil, skull and cybernetic. A sentiment the magi of the Ordo biologists can only agree with, is that not so, Laurentis? Before your unfortunate wounding, you had few augmentations.
A choice I made to remain better attuned to subtleties of biology, Fabricator General, said Laurentis. I have lost so much to the orcs. I see more clearly now, but what was taken from me was not given willingly. I cannot imagine giving up so much of gross human feeling as a conscious act. What little emotion remains is coloured throughout with regret.
Your skills as a dialogian remain. Do you still possess the necessary knowledge and mental subroutines to act as an effective translator?
I remain first and foremost of the xenology suborder, said Laurentis. Linguistic expression is a part of my ability, not the whole.
Nevertheless, it is your linguistic ability I inquire after, said Kubik.
Upbraiding so heavily cybernized an adept as Laurentis for pedantry was pointless.
My linguistic skills are 2.34% more efficient than they were, said Laurentis. What I have lost in instinctive appreciation for the modes of speech, I have gained in rapid pattern recognition.
Kubik swept around the Magi again.
Then you are to report after this meeting to Artisan Trajectory August van Auken at Pavonis Mons. There is a new project of grave importance being undertaken, vital to the war effort and to the success of the grand experiment. The full suite of your abilities are necessary. I have been forced by this Courland into committing a portion of the armies of Mars to the attack on the Orc Moon. No matter. It shall afford us the opportunity to acquire new materials for study and a greater number of experimental subjects for Van Auken's undertaking.
Erquidex's logic streams shivered with misgiving at this revelation of a new experiment. His implants seized upon the statement and trapped it in data crystals embedded in his thorax for later parsing. His initial hypothesis suggested something bad.
Perhaps my abilities might also be useful, my lord, said Erquidex. I too have experience with Verity Giganticus. You are to remain upon the grand experiment. Your investigations into the effects of the Orc teleportation technology upon biomatter are invaluable.
Yes, my lord, said Erquidex.
We must be careful, said the Fabricator General. The feuding of factions within the High Lords leaves us with no choice but to consider the ultimate divorce of our interests. There are those that suspect and work against us. Guard yourselves against them.
A poor quality hololith engaged, projecting a bubble of light that resolved itself into a live pict feed. In a grainy aerial view, dogged by frequent cutouts and signal dispersion, a woman was making her way across red sands, a breathing mask supplementing the thin Martian air.
This individual is not as she appears, said Kubik. The diagnostic covens came across erroneous data transfer protocols. Her code signum proved to be falsified.
Who is she? Asked Erquidex.
She is an operative of the Officio Assassinorum. I have been watching her for some time. Vangrich's killers are elusive, but not invisible. We observe her from a high-altitude ether drone, and she knows nothing of it.
The woman made her way across a landscape cluttered with ancient fragments of broken machinery. The view swung around. The hive factories of Tharsis piled themselves up behind her.
Sicarian assassin Clade 950 Alpha Z, execute target, commanded Kubik.
The woman stopped, alert to peril not yet visible to the Magi watching the pict feed. She cast away her red robe, revealing a close-fitting combat suit and a pair of bulky pistols, strapped one to each thigh. She drew them both, aimed them in opposite directions, and opened fire. The action proceeded without sound. She ran, arms outstretched and rock steady, guns blazing. Her head flicked back and forth, identifying new targets, her guns ready to follow. Erquidex was certain. Every shot was a kill.
"Assassins are skilled, but she is one, and we are many," said Kubik.
An assassination clade of Sicarian Ruststalkers skittered into the picked field, over 20 of them, converging on the assassin from all sides, their long legs nimbly picking their way over the rough ground. Always seemingly on the verge of toppling over, their darting movements instead propelled them towards their target with staccato purpose, blade limbs held out to impale and slice. The assassin upped her fire rate. Sicarians dropped, their breached pressurized armor shooting out streams of gas, spindly augmetic limbs folding in on themselves. They came closer and closer, unconcerned with their own deaths, determined only on hers. The assassin halted, still firing, but she was surrounded and could not escape. The Sicarians pounced on her. With a flurry of cybernetic limbs, it was done. The assassin lay dead on the ground. The picked view abruptly veered as the ether drone sped away on some new task. The sky filled the image, before fizzling out.
"So end those who would profane the holy grounds of Mars," said Kubik.
His chair swiveled back and rose up high so that he could look down on the Magi.
"You two have proved yourselves to me. This will be but one of a cell. We must redouble our vigilance. Spies are everywhere. We will not be thwarted so close to success."
Erquidex struggled to control his telescopic eyes. The left developed a tick, the lens minutely focusing and refocusing. He knew very well there were more of them. He was in regular contact with one.
"Yes, prime of primes," Erquidex said.
He needed to speak to Yendel immediately.